Well, God bless you guys. Good morning. You look fantastic. Thank you for being here today. Not too long, we'll start getting some weather we can all appreciate. School's back in. Life is getting crazy again. And this is the time to really settle into a community of faith, something that sustains you. And we've been in the middle of a message series for the last several weeks. We're in part four today. It's the last. We start a brand new message series next week called Act and React, and I don't want you to miss any of that because it is going to help you move into this sort of chaotic season in your life and really be able to sustain the kind of things that come our way when life happens around us. But this has been an amazing series for some of you guys, and it's really been stirring up some great conversation. We're going to end on a really important message. But before we do, I want to encourage you, if you have middle schoolers or high schoolers, you should have them in our youth ministry. It's called Vertical Student Ministries. It happens here on Sunday nights at 6 o'clock. And they just relaunched and are doing an amazing job. Students, tonight you get the pop sockets. If anyone under 35 knows what a pop socket is, raise your hand. Yep, nobody. Okay, perfect. Pop sockets are those little telescoping things that come off your cell phone to help you hold your cell phone, because we need to get our kids back onto their cell phones. They're not on them enough. So you get a vertical branded pop socket tonight for coming if you're a middle schooler or high schooler, and it's free, but then they go on sale later. And if you missed your t-shirt the first week and you are here, you get a free t-shirt. If you're not, I think they're 10 bucks, something like that. But have your kids in our youth ministry tonight, 6 o'clock. So since childhood, you and I have a difficult time trusting. I mean, you can see little home videos maybe of your own kids, and they're standing on the edge of the pool, and dad's in the pool, and he's saying, come on, jump to me. And the kids, even though there's just water below them, it's not like there's concrete or jagged rocks or broken glass. It's dad's loving arms there. Kids still have a hard time doing it because we have a hard time trusting. And then we experience just enough hurt later on. We love someone for the first time when we're 14, 15 years old, and they break our heart, and we think, I'm never going to trust anyone again. And then as we become adults, we become even more sort of skeptical, and it even turns into cynicism because we just get burnt so many times trusting people. I mean, trust is so hard to come by that somebody created an exercise that at corporate retreats or at camps or at events, that they do this exercise to help build trust. It's called a trust fall. Does everybody know what a trust fall is? If you don't know what a trust fall is, I've found a video to show you. So take a look at this. Dying. He's sharing his fears.
What? I'm afraid of being alone.
Do you trust God?
I do.
Do you trust us?
Yes.
Falling.
Falling.
We got it! Oh.
Okay? That didn't work.
And that's why people have a hard time trusting, is even in the midst of trying to build trust. I don't know what this full-grown adult was thinking by having a bunch of 9-year-old boys catch him, but that didn't go well, and that's sort of what we go through, isn't it? We share our fears, we make ourselves vulnerable, we do something that we could get hurt in, and we say, I'm trusting you. We build trust with each other, and it just doesn't pan out sometimes, right? That's a problem between you and I, but the reality is that you're dealing with humans, and so maybe, I don't know, maybe you're smart not to always trust people. People can wound you. People can betray you. These guys didn't mean to drop them, but that's what we are. We're incapable of always doing what we're supposed to do. So maybe it's smart to not always trust people, but here's the problem. When it comes to trusting God, we sort of project all of those trust issues of letting go of things, and we project it onto him, and we make him someone in the long list of people we don't trust. Because how many times have you and I, with things that we're vulnerable about, with things that we stress over, with things that we care about, with things that we worry over, things that matter to us. How many times have we shared those with someone and found that they were either incapable or callous and uncaring? We just figured out that people aren't always good with our problems. And then sometimes, maybe God doesn't act as quickly or in the way that we thought he would, or we sort of figure out that people can't even handle their own problems. How are they going to handle ours? And then we sort of go, I don't know, God's got bigger problems to deal with, and maybe I should just hang on to this and figure it out on my own. You and I, though, have to get in the habit as followers of Christ at becoming very, very comfortable and very well practiced and saying, you know what? This is not my problem. This is God's problem. This is not my problem. Being able to identify that there are things that happen in your life that stir up certain things that help you recognize quickly, wait a second, this isn't my problem. This is God's problem. When I first took over as lead pastor, at that time we were called Heritage Church, and I was completely overwhelmed. I'm a good problem solver. I'm actually a pretty good businessman too. But we were facing some obstacles and some business issues that were almost impossible tasks to face, and I tried and I tried and I tried, and I grew in stress and grew in worry and grew in stress and anxiety and worry and stress and anxiety. And I went through this tumultuous first year where I was so overwhelmed. And then there was a breaking point in which I said, you know what, God? This is not my problem. This is your problem. And he went, yeah, I know. Took you a while. And can I tell you that my leadership perspective changed completely? I wasn't trying to chase down every problem. I wasn't trying to solve everything on my own. I just turned to God and went, whew, God, this is such a big problem. I feel bad for you, but you can handle it. I'm going to share a couple things with you today that are going to help you identify if you're having a difficult time trusting God with your problems. I'm having a problem letting go and trusting God with my problems when, number one, when I start planning before I try praying. When I start planning before I try praying. So here's a truth, fill this in. We typically turn to prayer only after we've exhausted all of our own plans. That's when we start praying, is when we've run out of ideas. We've tried everything. We've made things worse even. So after being in leadership for 27 years, I've discovered a few things about human nature. And here's one thing that I've recognized inside of church is that no matter how much time we as leadership put into praying over something, meeting over something, discussing something, really thinking through something, putting strategy into something, that when we introduce it, there's a lot of people who think they would have and could have done it better, right? They just react to it because we trust ourselves and our way of doing things more than we trust anyone else's way of doing things. If you look through Scripture, you're going to see God's relationship with humanity and humanity's relationship with God, and you're going to see a very distrusting people. God says, do this way. It's for your benefit. I'm going to prosper you. I don't want to hurt you. I want to help you. I want to provide for you. I want to guide you into your highest and best. And we all think, I think we'll do it our way, but thanks. Since Adam and Eve, after God told them, don't do this, it will destroy you, they went, I think we're going to take our own way. Can I show you what it looks like when we choose to do things our way because it seems like the right idea in the right time? Look at what choosing your own way looks like. Right here. There you go.
Oh, my God.
Let's try that again.
Oh,
me trying to overcome my problems. There you go.
Oh, my God. Oh, he's winded.
Now, that's a guy who thought that was going to go well. Didn't think he was going to break his spine or his ribs or whatever was ultimately broken by a 1,200-pound round hay bale rolling down the hill. He thought, this is going to work out well. And I got to tell you, I've been in those situations many times before. A couple weeks ago, I talked about picking up a rattlesnake with my bare hands. I thought it was a good idea. Turned out it wasn't. Go figure. You and I put ourselves in situations all the time where we believe our way of doing it is the best way of doing it. But listen to what Proverbs 16, 1 through 3, and then verse 9 says. Go ahead, make all the plans you want, but it's the Lord who will ultimately direct your steps. Now, hold on, because we all sort of love to misunderstand that part. I'm going to get to it in just a second. Go ahead, make all the plans you want, but it's the Lord who ultimately directs your steps. We are all in love with our own opinions. It's almost like God saw into the future to Facebook and went, you know, I'm going to put this in here, right here. We're all in love with our own opinions, convinced they're correct. But the Lord is in the midst of us, listen, testing and probing our every motive. Ooh. Before you do anything, put your trust totally in God and not in yourself. So listen, the way that actually is sort of translated is completely in God and zero in you. Like, you know how you can give percentages? You go, well, 60% goes here and 40% goes there. It literally means put 100% of your trust in God and 0% of your trust in yourself. Then every plan you make will succeed. Holy cow, listen. Within your heart, you can make your plans for the future, but the Lord chooses the steps you take to get there. So listen, this is how we misunderstand it. We think, okay, it kind of doesn't matter whatever I choose and whatever mistakes I make, because God's going to get me there anyway. That is not what that means at all. It means that you can go ahead and spin your wheels in making your plans, but choosing God's plan is the only way you can get there. It doesn't mean that no matter what plans you make, you're ultimately going to get there anyway because God's guiding you. No. It means that you can stay in the middle of your problematic plan making, and God, because he wants to develop your character and wants you to learn to trust him and wants you to learn to turn to his plan, he'll just let you sit there and simmer in your bad ideas, stewing in your mistakes. And reminding you, listen, choosing God's path is the only way to get to success. How many people want to succeed in your marriage? How many of you guys want to succeed in your finances? How many want to succeed in parenting? How many want to succeed in being emotionally, spiritually, and physically healthy? We all do, yet we trust ourselves to get there. How's that going for all of us? Poorly. We mismanage our lives all the time. So listen to what Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says. Don't worry. If you can jot this somewhere in your notes, worry is our mind's way of expecting the worst and planning for the worst. That's what it is. It's your mind beginning to plan for the worst. Worry, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. So again, here's what it means. Give 0% of worry to things. Give 100% of prayer to things. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank him for his answers. Listen, if you'll maybe notice, when I pray over things, I typically say something to the effect at the end of, and God, we thank you now in advance as if it's already happened, because when I go to God in prayer, I go to God in faith that God's my provider, that God wants the best for me. So when I pray for healing, I say, thank you, God, in advance for this healing. When I pray for provision, I say, thank you, God, now as if that provision has already happened. That's my declaration that God is on it. If you do this, you'll experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand, and his peace will keep your thoughts Ah, I love this. Listen, his peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. Can you say that your heart is at rest, that your mind is at peace? That when you think about your worst circumstances, that you feel peace and you feel rest? Are you sitting back going, I'm genuinely not worried about it at all? Not because you're careless, but because you've taken the time to trust God. How many times this last week did you say, as you were contemplating making a decision or a choice, did you say, Holy Spirit, examine my heart, check my mind, correct my thoughts. I want to choose God's way. I don't want to choose my own way. So step on my flesh and make my spirit come alive as I make this decision. That was maybe 10 seconds it took to pray that. How many times did you do that last week where you said, just Lord, check my heart right now as I make this decision. Check this heart. Check my heart as I begin to say this thing. Check my heart as I begin to make plans on how to do this thing. We can't get last week back, but ask yourself this question. How many times this week in making your decisions and approaching your problems will you say, Holy Spirit, check my heart, check my mind, check my spirit. I want to please God and I want to choose God's path. Second is this, I'm having problem letting go and trusting God with my problems when I tell God how to solve my problems. So here's the truth to write in. Even when we pray, we try to steer God to do things our way. When Jesus was only hours away from his painful death, even he had to pray this, Lord, if there's any way for me to be delivered from this pain, from what I have to go through, let that be so, but not my will be done, your will be done. He said, in my flesh, it's my will that I wouldn't have to experience this, that I wouldn't have to go through this pain, that I wouldn't have to encounter this. I don't want to do this thing that's coming my way, but I want your will and not my will. Even Jesus had to say, I have to trust your will. Jesus had to steer his prayer to make sure he was declaring God's will over his own will, but that's often not how you and I pray. Our flesh says, hey, wait. Let's think about this for a second. There has to be a way we can get through this without having to go through all the pain. We can trust God, but we don't have to trust God if God wants to take us through pain. What loving God would take us? That's my flesh. That's my mind. Clearly, God doesn't want me to be uncomfortable or go through pain or sacrifice. There must be another way. So we begin to pray, and God, deliver me from this. And God, make this person stop doing this to me and make these circumstances that are causing me discomfort and pressure in my life, make those go away. The thing that's causing me stress, God, I pray that it disappears. Lord, I'm your child. Do good things for your child. I mean, we're earnest, we're praying, right? But God's sitting back going, oh, okay, what else should I be doing? Oh, perfect. God, that sounds good. Yeah, well, you've got it all figured out. I don't even know why you're talking to me. Listen to Proverbs 28:26. This describes the way you and I can be. Self-confident know-it-alls will prove to be fools. But when you lean on the wisdom from above, you will have a way to escape the troubles of your own making. God wants to work through your problems with you, even if they're problems that you created, but you've got to trust his way to do it. You can't try to steer God even in your spiritual moments where, you know, kids are so good at this. Our kids know how to turn it on and off. Our middle son, Cole, has these big, big brown eyes. And when he was little, he had this little round head and these giant cartoon-like eyes. They were so big. And he was so emotional. And he would just reduce to tears over anything. And I would just be like, I don't want to see this kid cry. It's like literally seeing like a koala bear cry, these just giant eyes with these tears. And I was like, I wanted to. Well, Cole figured that out, right? And when we pray, we try to direct God to do things our way. I love what David said in Psalm 27. He says, some find their strength in their weapons and in wisdom, but my miracle deliverance can never be won by men. Our boast is in the Lord our God, who makes us strong and gives us victory. This was David, who was a warrior, by the way, who was celebrated. They would say, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. David was a fierce warrior who knew what he was doing with a sword and a shield and armor. David went into battle every day. And David said, some men trust their weapons. I trust God. Listen, you're in the battle. You're in the mix. You're facing it. I'm not telling you to get out of the battle. I'm telling you to stop trusting the things you've been trusting to get you through your problems, because you will not overcome them with the strength and the wisdom of men. You will only overcome them with the strength and weaponry that comes from God. Amen? You didn't even move the needle on that one. All right, number three and finally. I'm having a problem letting go and trusting God with my problems. When number three, when I can't shake my feelings of stress, fear, and anxiety. Even after praying, you and I fall back into those feelings. Here's a truth. Every time we worry or stress, we steal our problems back from God and we declare we don't fully trust Him. Imagine dropping your car off at the mechanic and then sneaking in, breaking in, and working on the car at night on your own. Imagine sitting up in the middle of a surgery, snatching the scalpel from the doctor's hand and go, I got it from here. Now imagine telling God you trust Him and you want His wisdom and you want His provision, and you give Him your problems only to sneak back with your worry and your stress and your anxiety to say, actually, I'm a bit worried you're not going to do well with this. So I'm going to go ahead and take this back. It's like saying this to God. I believe that my worry and stress will do more to solve my problems than leaving them with you. Even the baby says, that is not a good idea. 1 Peter 5:7 says it like this. Oh, I love this expression too. It's in the Passion Translation. Pour out all your worries and stress upon Him and leave them there, for He always tenderly cares for you. I love the pour out, because it's so emoting of our, it's just the crying it out and the vomiting of our problems onto God, the just sobbing and the snot, and how it really happens when we're in the middle of those pressing problems that destroy us and we don't know where else to turn, and we just lay it at the feet of God. We just pour it all out. And listen, when you think of it like that, you can't collect it all back, can you? When something's poured out, I'm a spiller. I don't know why I spill things a lot. I drink a lot of iced tea. And we've got, you know, one of those refrigerators that's got the two doors here for the refrigerator and then the pull-out freezer thing. And we keep extra ice down there. And I go through tons of ice. And so I pull that drawer and I got my tea in my hand and I stir my stevia in there. And then I take my ice and I do this. I cannot even count how many times I've gone, and I spill all the tea inside the ice bin. I've ruined my ice, and I can't get my tea back, and I make a mean tea. I'm just telling you that. It's a good tea. You can't get it back. And I love the imagery that we can go before God, and we spill out our problems, and we can't get them back. We leave them there, and we're fine leaving them there. Here's why. Because He always tenderly, tenderly cares for us. God's not rough or mean-spirited. He's not a bully father. He's gentle and loving. I'm going to end with this. Psalms 112, verse 7, gives us a glimpse of what our lives could look like if we actually trusted God. I mean, really, really trusted God, no matter what bad news or so. Because here's the thing, is we can lay our problems at God's feet, And we go, okay, oh, I feel better about that. And then a new problem comes along. And remember what I said at the very beginning, you're going to have problems. You're going to keep having problems. Until you're in the grave, you're going to have problems. So this has to be a practice of ours, a position, a posture of trust with us. You can't just learn to let go of this set of problems, but the new ones that come along, because all problems tend to be surprises, right? If they weren't surprises, we would sort of already know that they're coming and we would head them off and avoid them, but problems tend to be things we don't expect that take us by surprise, and so there's going to be more things that surprise us. But listen to what the heart of a man or a woman who trusts God does with that. Blessed are those who have respect for the Lord, for they aren't afraid when the news comes. And you can start, actually, Jenny, I'm ahead of schedule. And everybody said amen. Oh, now you're awake. Blessed are those who have respect for the Lord. Listen, they aren't afraid when bad news comes. They aren't afraid. They're not fearful. They're not stressing. They're not anxious. They're not worried at all. They stand firm because they trust in the Lord. Listen, can I put myself in a seat right now and just talk as amongst you? Oh, this is so hard for me to practice. I'm a problem solver. I like figuring things out. No one wants to go to one of those rooms, the escape rooms with me, because I would just say, you guys just sit down. I'll take care of this. Everybody has to look on their phone or something, because I would be the guy who would constantly want to figure it all out on my own. That's my nature. And I'm not telling you that there aren't problems that God isn't going to entrust to you to solve, to work on. God's not going to simply lift things off your shoulders and go, you know what, you keep messing up, I'll keep fixing it. Not at all. But you and I have to come to the place where we go, these are bigger than me. Bigger than my logic, bigger than my wisdom, bigger than my planning, bigger than my strength. Some men, they trust in weapons and good planning. I trust in God. This was the David, by the way, who took a sling and a rock and killed a giant when all of the armies of Israel couldn't do it because they had misplaced their trust. So even with this little incompetent tool, this child's toy, David took his sling and a smooth rock, and he planted it into the forehead of Goliath. That comes from taking the resources, the limited, even broken, childish resources that are in our hands, and turning them over to God and going, if I can help, let me know. But I trust you. I don't know what problem you're facing. I'm not underestimating how big it is. I'm not devaluing the impact it's had on your life. It could be devastating. Could be overwhelming. And I'm brokenhearted for you because I've been there. I've been in that place where you just get up and you go, I can't do another day of facing this. Because we feel alone and isolated and trapped and cornered and exhausted and exasperated. We just go, I've got nothing left. Can I tell you this, that God will leave you sitting right there until you turn to him and say, I'm done trusting myself. I'm done trusting weapons and logic and I want to trust you. And that's when God steps in and he can do his work in your life. And not only does he move you through this problem, he begins to establish credibility of trust with you where you say, I have no reason not to trust him. I trust him. If I can trust him with this, I can certainly trust him with this. I will not be afraid no matter what the bad news, because he cares for me tenderly. He loves me deeply. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Can I ask this? If you would be honest enough and vulnerable enough to say, I'm in the middle of trouble. I'm in the middle of a problem that I need to turn over to God. I want to pour it out to him and leave it at his feet. I don't want to try and worry it back into my lap. I trust him. And if I don't, there's a passage in scripture where a man says, Lord, help my unbelief. I believe, but help my unbelief. I trust you, God, but help me that I don't trust you. And you say, I want to pour out this to God, this trouble, this problem, or problems that I'm facing, and I want to trust God with it. If that's you, would you just slide your hand up? We're going to pray together. Yeah. Man, lots and lots of us. Can I ask this question? Is there anyone here? Well, I know there is, but I want to know this. Are you ready to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ? So if your heart's pounding a little bit and you think, I want this, I just don't want some weird churchy thing to happen right now, you're in safe hands. You may not know me, but I'm promising you can trust me. I'm not going to have you stand up or do anything weird or expose you or make you uncomfortable. This is about you and him right now. This is about you taking a step forward and crossing over that line of faith and beginning to trust God with your life, with your heart, your mind, your future. He created you for your highest and best purposes. He's ready for you to start living that. Question is, are you ready? If you are, you say, yes, I'll start a relationship with him. I don't know him, and I don't even know what I'm supposed to do. I just want to know, are you ready to begin the relationship with him? And if that's you, nobody's looking around except me, would you just slip your hand up? No other shoe's going to drop? Yeah, thanks. Thank you. Anyone else? I know we're going to pray for everyone who has troubles and problems. We're going to do that in just a second, but I want every single person to first pray this with me. Every voice in the room, pray this with me. Christ Jesus, I believe in you, and I need you in my life. I want to trust you today to take my plans, my hopes, my dreams, and my future. I put it all into your hands. Wash away from me every mistake I've made that separated me from you, and bring me close to you today. I give you my heart, my mind, and my spirit. In your name I pray. Now, Father, I pray for every single person that raised their hand, and even some that didn't, because they just said, you know what, I'm tired of trusting moments like this. I'm tired of trusting people like him. I don't even know if I trust God. God, we are in the midst. Some problems we might measure on a different scale than others. But to those of us going through it, it's impacting, it's smothering, it's stifling. It's defeating. So we come before you today and we pour out our troubles before you. We put them at your feet. We let them spill out in such a way that there's no way we can take it back. We surrender our worry, our anxiety, our fear, and we replace it with trust and faith in you. That you're a God who tenderly loves us and cares for us, so that no matter what the news, we will not be afraid. And we declare it now as if it's already happened, giving you thanks for it today. In Jesus' name, everybody who believed it said amen. Amen.